So I haven't seen you yet. I want to tell you hello, and I want to make sure I meet you before I leave. When Brother Steve asked me to come here, you know, I've been on mission trips before, but I usually don't come to actual nice places like this. So when it's one of those things I prayed about, and you know, this is a double-edged sword. I was telling Pastor Mark and his wife earlier, is extra special to me because this is where my ancestors come from. So my family migrated from Nova Scotia many, many years ago and ended up in Louisiana. So my dad, who was my best friend, if he would, he passed on to be with the Lord. But if he would know I was here, he'd be so jealous because family was such important to him. And he told me that and showed me that. So to be in the place that some of my ancestors come from, to me, is surreal. And to be able to preach the gospel to maybe some of you who have even maybe far down the line related to is even more, to be able to go and reach the people. You know, oftentimes we get so comfortable with ourselves, and I'm not going to preach the sermon, Brother Steve, I promise. So we get so comfortable with ourselves, sometimes we forget sometimes our biggest testimony is our lives. And, you know, our neighbors are looking at us, and people who know us are looking at us, and they'll never open the Bible, they'll never see anything, but just watching how you live is some of the biggest testimony. And that kind of ties into mine. So I was born and raised what you would think would be a nice Christian home. My mom and dad was in church, and obviously I was born. I'm not going to say raised. When I got very young, I was in the third grade. My mom and dad separated. But something happened in my life. Some of the best times I remember as a child growing up was when my mom and dad was in church. That was the best day. They got along. Everything was great. My mom and dad was in church, and it was just amazing. And then they split up, and my dad turned to alcohol, and my mom turned to drugs. And I remember I was in the third grade having to watch my little sister while my mom was out doing what she was doing, and she wouldn't come home sometimes. And then I turned to you know, things of the world at a very young age. But one person was faithful to me, and I start off with saying that was my grandpa. My grandpa was in church, and actually he's in the church I pastor now. So I attended that church I pastor now. At a very young age, my grandpa was faithful. My grandpa would call me. My grandpa would say, "Brother," he said, that "he just lean upon the Lord." And he gave me this scripture, and he always told me, and it's in Psalms chapter 37, verse 23, of the steps of a man. And he says, "Son, when you grow up," he says, "you know, remember the steps of a man." And it says, "The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. He is ever lending generously, and his children become a blessing. Turn away from evil and do good, so shall you dwell forever." And I have this marked in my Bible, and always kept it marked, because when I was young and my mom was out doing her thing, that kept me comfort, that the Lord loved me enough. And so, again, my grandpa would pick me up to go to church, and he was you know, faithful picking me up, and I got saved when I was 13 years old. But that stage from where I was 3 to 13, third grade to 13, that was pretty rough, you know. So then I got saved, and everything, when you get saved, everything just turns beautiful, right? There's no nothing in it ever comes. Well, that didn't go well. So I turned about 17, 18 years old. I started playing music, and I started playing music in bars. Yeah, you know, how can a saved man, well, I was so far from the Lord, it was incredible. Because why? Because my grandpa got old and sick, and I was a carnal Christian. I went to church, right? I went to church. However, I wasn't in his word a whole bunch, and I knew he was there because, boy, the conviction when I would do something wrong was unreal, and I never felt that before. And I'm like, Lord, why are you? What is this feeling that I never felt before? I gave my life to the Lord. I didn't get this feeling. Now there's the conviction. So, I met my wife now, and praise God for her. She got me back in church, and man, the peace. The peace that surpassed understanding when I stepped foot in that church was just unreal. Knowing I've been saved, but yet I drifted away from the Lord, and coming back is unreal. So, me and my wife and I started going back to church, and this was about 11 years ago. 11 years ago, And one thing, my wife, man, and we went head over heels, man. It was, you know, for once I was in the scripture and reading, and she was just there, and we just grew together as a couple. And I remember the first time when we started praying together, and we was on our knees, and our foreheads were together. And I just knew the Lord was in this place. That was the most intimate thing my wife and I ever did, was pray together with our foreheads together, praying as one. And, you know, I tell people all the time, you know, they say, you know, they come to me with questions and stuff. Sometimes my wife is the one who answers my questions. And I'm supposed to be the pastor. But, you know, God's blessed me with a great wife. So I was a Christian, and I was, you know, I was part of this church, and I was elder of this church. And in this uptown, I say uptown, is about 7-8 miles from the church I pastor now. And my grandpa was still gone there. He was sick, however. And, you know, Lord started calling me to be a pastor. And I said, okay, Lord, what's going on? So I went to school and you know, did all the things that you're supposed to do to be a pastor. And I said, you know what? I said, the Lord is calling me to mission work. That's what he's called me, because I can't preach the gospel here, because everyone knows me. Everyone knows my past. So there's no way I'm going to preach the gospel here. So I started going as far as I can. I went all the way to Uganda, Africa, preaching the gospel, because those people don't know me. They don't know my past, right? They don't know my past. So I would go there, and I said, that's what the Lord's calling me to do, a church plant there. So we went for 3 or 4 years, and the last year I left there, when we came back, I felt this closure. I said, man, I don't, the Lord feel like he closed that door. And I didn't understand. I said, because, man, to be around all those, nobody knew me. I started out fresh, and it was great. And then the Lord started dealing with me. So for some reason, when I cut my grass, the Lord speaks to me more than anything. I guess because my mind races all the time. I have my earphones in and I'm listening to my music. And that's when the Lord speaks to me the most. So it's about 3 years ago. About 3 years ago, the Lord tells me, you're going to pastor Bellevue Baptist Church. And I said, no way. I said, Brother Darren has been there for 19 years. He's been there a long time. He's not going anywhere. He was the same way, born and raised. Then my grandpa died, and I went, and I was able to do his funeral. That was the first message I did at Bellevue Baptist. And I said, you know what? I said, that was it. The Lord was just showing me I was going to deliver, you know, the message at Bellevue Baptist Church. So I went again doing mission work, doing all these things. And, man, the church plant thing is on my mind. I said, you know what? I have to plant a church. That's what he's calling me. I said, you know what? We have no Baptist churches on the front of town, so maybe he's calling me to plant this church up here. So a friend of mine he was going to church with me, and he says, man, he says, they used to have a store in my building, and there's no more store. Would you come and pray and see if this is where God wants you to plant the church? So I walked in the church and into the old store, and I started walking around. I started praying, and it was like dead. No hole, no spirit, no nothing. I said, Lord, I said, this is not it, you know. So I went to it. I tried to force it. Anyone ever tried to force the Lord's hand? So I would go in that church and into the store, I'm sorry, and I'd press it. Lord, this is where you called me to plant the church. And again, nothing. Nothing. So I get a call from Brother Darren, who was the pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church. He says, look, can you come take my spot? I said, he says, I have to go somewhere. I said, okay. So I went a few times and, you know, filled Brother Darren's a spot where he would leave out, and man, cutting the grass again, the Lord keeps telling me, you're going to be the pastor of that church. I said, Lord, I don't know. I said, people know me here. You know, they know my skeletons. They know I don't think so, Lord. And I just thought maybe I was, again, trying to force something. So Brother Darren called me one day. He says, hey, he said, can you fill in for me? I said, sure. So I filled in, and then while I was there, I walked around the church, and it was in Sunday school, so everyone was in Sunday school, had a church to myself, so I walked around the church, and I prayed. I said, Lord, I said, you called me to be the pastor, you called me to be a pastor, but, you know, how can I be a pastor with no church? You know, I thought you was church, wanted me to church plan. I don't understand, Lord, what's going on? And again, the Lord says, you're going to be pastor of this church. And I said, no way. So then about a month later, Brother Darren called me and said, hey, can you fill in for me again? And this is becoming pretty regular. I said, sure. So this was about a week before, the following Friday before I preached, he called me up. He says, hey, look, I need you to come to the house. I need to tell you something. So what's that? Okay. I have to tell you the reason you're preaching for me Sunday. I said, okay, what is that? He says, I'm going preach at a place that I'm applying for a position for. in Oklahoma. So Oklahoma from Louisiana is pretty far, and where he's going pretty different. So I'm my mouth hit the floor. I know he saw it. You've been there for 19 years, born and raised. Are you going to Oklahoma? He says, I don't know yet. He says, I'm going and preach, and he says, you know, I'm hoping a few of the Lord calling me there. So, man, when I walked into that church on that Sunday morning, I had the most peaceful feeling in the world. I said, he's going to get that position in Oklahoma, and I'm going to be the pastor of this church. Now, this is just me and the Lord. No one knows what's going on. And I told my wife, kind of, we was praying together. No one knew what was going on. So I preached that message. I preached that message, and a guy came up to me, and it was actually Brother Darren's dad. And he says, you're going to be the pastor of this church. He says, as you was preaching, he said, the Lord opened my eyes. He says, I'm like, you know where Darren is? Like whispering, you know where Darren is, Brother Darren is? He says, yeah, I do. And he says, you could be a pastor of this church. So I said, don't say anything. I said, and so floored me again because I was feeling the same thing. Now he told me this, like, oh my gosh, the Lord is, everyone said, I found the Lord. No, the Lord found me. And here I am. And all these emotions running through me. I was like, man, they know me. They know what I've done and stuff like that. And that's, man, I don't know how I'm going to be able to pull this off. So, man, we went home and prayed, and Brother Darren called me. He says, look, they offered me the position. I said, oh, man, now it's becoming real. So before, it was fun to go play church, you know? So you get to go, and the pastor I'm talking about, you get to go fill in for somebody and preach whatever you want, because if they get mad, oh, well, you're leaving. So, you know, that's the good stuff. You don't have to deal with it. And man, I just felt I was home. So, man, but 2 weeks later, about a week later, I get a phone call from the pastor search committee. Oh, great. They said, we want to come speak with you at your house. I said, I would love that. So they came speak to my house. And they sit down, and I'm like, okay, this is going to be a grueling process. You know, they're going to say, we want, you know, on all these things. And he said, we want to offer you the position. And if you accept, we're not going out and search for another pastor. When we met, everyone had on their hearts that you was going to be the pastor of this church. And he says, I said, okay. I said, let me pray about it. I said, I knew the answer because the Lord's been showing me for 3 years now. However, I didn't want to jump the gun. So I went and, you never know. So I went home because it's becoming real now. It's becoming real. You know, it's not games anymore. This is a church that the Lord's going to put me to head the church. And this is big thing here, and I wanted to make sure I was doing the right thing, and it wasn't just me. So my wife and I prayed about it, and I remember we got on our knees, and before I even started talking, God said, you're the pastor of that church. I'm like, give me a second to say something, Lord. I mean, give me just 1 second. Because it was in my heart. And I walked in the church, and I felt the Spirit just in the church. And when we walked in, it was about a congregation about this size, had about 20, 21 people. And it was just so surreal. So, you know, long story short, accepted the pastor role of the church, and the church is doing well now by the grace of God. And you feel home. And the one thing I say is the Lord calls each and every one of us in here for one thing. You know, and before I go there, remember my past I told you about? Well, we've had an increase. So since I've been there since December, and about 15 people have come to the church and stayed. Not because of anything, not because I'm a good preacher or I have great hair or anything like that. That's not why they came. You know why they came? Because they remembered my past and they saw how God changed me and they wanted the same thing that I received. So what I thought was going to be the biggest thing to haunt me has been the biggest blessing in my ministry, because they're saying, I want what you have. You know, someone says, I would love to have the relationship you and your wife have. And I said, you have no idea where we come from. You have no idea where, you know, God took us down that road and together, and it wasn't easy to get to where we are. So when you're looking at your neighbor and you might say, hey, I want what they have, and you start wanting that, you don't know what God has brought them through to get to where they are. And now I can honestly say the church is doing well. and you can just feel the Spirit moving in the church. You can feel it. You have people who've came there before and come back and said, man, there's a difference. And the difference is God is leading the church. Not saying it wasn't before, but now I know that God is leading the church. And the one thing I told them, I said, I'm not going to compromise my beliefs because I wasn't coming, you know. And I said, if we do something well and it's scriptural, we'll do it. But if we do it because of tradition, it's out the window. If we can't justify what we do. And I urge each and every one of us, search your hearts. And when you do things, and don't rely on just your pastor. Go search the scripture. And the one thing I love the most is whenever someone will come to me a few days after I preach a message and says, I have a question about what you said. I love that. They was paying attention. Ask me. And we can go in scripture and look at it together. You know, there's many things in my life that were pretty bad, you know. But I praise God of everything that happened in my life. Because if I were to change one thing, I would change everything. I wouldn't change anything. If you change one thing in your life, one bad thing, one good thing, you change everything. Because God used all of that in your lives for a purpose. And I thank God for it. You know, I learned being a young person, third grade, watching my little sister when my mom was out, I learned responsibility. I learned how to cook. Because we didn't have nothing to eat. We had to scrounge and eat whatever we can find. There was plenty of days we went without food. And it's just how it was. My mom, I love her to death. But she'd go 2 or 3 days on her binges. And we had to do ourselves. My dad, good as a go, he had no clue. Because we'd see him every other weekend, had no clue. My dad died at 61 years old. And I'll tell you a quick story. And I'm going to let Brother Steve take over. I'm sorry, Brother Steve. When my dad was laying in on his death, he died of cancer, and he laid on his deathbed. He says, son, this place is beautiful. And I said, Dad, what are you talking about? He said, brother, you wouldn't understand. And it didn't hit me. And he died a few hours later. And to me, that was just that validation that the Lord gave him to give to me to say that, hey, he's with God in eternity, and that's the place I long to be. Now, as long as he has me on this earth, I'm going to take it. But to know that, you know, my dad was, you know, and how can you say, how your mom did all of that and your dad had no clue? You kids, you don't say anything. You think that's normal, you know? Things happen to me that I wish wouldn't happen to any of these kids here. But God has been good. And now I can praise God that my kids don't have to go through what I did. And I praise God that for the pastors here that they're doing the work in there. And let us bow our heads and pray if you don't mind. Oh Lord, thank you for your grace and your mercy upon us, Lord. Lord, thank you for letting us sit at your feet as we listen to your gospel tonight, Lord. Lord, we want you to speak through Brother Steve, Lord, and we want you to move in a mighty way, Lord. We want your spirit to fall upon this place more than ever, Lord. Lord, we want to be able to fill the hearts and to open the eyes and the minds of those who need to hear the message, Lord. Lord, there's some people here, Lord, that maybe know of Christ, but that's all they do. Let them love Christ. Let them rest their worries and their troubles in his arms, Lord. Lord, we lift you up, we lift your name, Lord, and we just thank you for never leaving us nor forsaking us, Lord. Lord, giving us the peace that surpasses all understanding, Lord. Lord, great is thy faithfulness. As we give you the praise, the honor, the glory, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, in Christ's name we pray. Amen.